Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Monday, May 11th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Brent Stratton has served with the Bakersfield Police Department for over two decades, and earlier this month, he was officially appointed to lead the agency.
I'm dedicated to constant improvement, and that should be a phrase our department has heard a lot. There is not a single thing that we are doing that we can't do better.
Today, we speak with Chief Stratton and hear his vision for the department. We'll have that conversation in just a moment.
Support for Central Valley Daily comes from the members of KVPR. Join at $8 or more per month and access ad-free NPR podcasts through NPR Plus. Give now at kvpr.org/donate.
And now to our feature story. All Brent Stratton ever wanted to be was a police officer.
My first show and tell was a Bakersfield police officer, and I was a Bakersfield police officer for Halloween a couple times when I was a kid. And it's just, it's all that I've ever wanted to do.
Now he is the chief of the Bakersfield Police Department. Chief Stratton assumed the role on May 1st, and while the job is new, his surroundings are very familiar. Chief Stratton has been with the department for more than two decades, working cases as a homicide detective, on the SWAT team, on the gang unit, and more.
I've been with our department for 22 years. I literally grew up in this department. Both my parents worked here. And so sometimes after school, I'd get picked up, you know, by one parent, and I was sitting and waiting in break rooms until the other one got off work. And so This is the first real job I had after college. It's the only place I've worked, only place I've applied. I love it here. Live it, eat it, and breathe it.
But a lot has changed since Chief Stratton first joined BPD. And we were curious to know how he plans to navigate the department with today's demands, where local police departments are tested by the federal government's overreach, and community support for police has waned at times, especially when departments face allegations of excessive force and civil rights violations, which has happened in Bakersfield. To find out, I spoke with Chief Stratton during his first full week on the job, and he gave me more background on the Bakersfield Police Department as a whole.
Yeah, people are surprised to realize how big the city of Bakersfield is. The city of Bakersfield is the ninth largest city in the state. The city is continuing to grow. We have 512 police officers, and overall with professional staff, dispatchers, records clerk, you know, there's about 730 people that work here. So it is a big department. Bakersfield is a big city. A variety of different challenges that we have here economically, crime-related challenges for sure. And so the part of the challenge is responding to the things that are occurring now, but also working to intervene on things before they become problems, and then really trying to be focused on preventative efforts as well. And I'd say that, you know, where I want to go with things, if I had to put them in three broad buckets, I want to increase safety. So, you know, drive down crime. Obviously, we have key performance indicators and metrics and areas where I'd like to see some reductions in that regard. But it's, you know, comma, closely followed by improving people's feeling of safety. I think that we are actually a very safe city, but I don't know that everybody feels that we're safe. And so not just improving safety, but improving the feeling of safety is one area. I wanted us to be able to solve as many problems as we can. You know, our mission statement is to partner with our community to protect the lives and property of the people that we serve. And I'm under no illusions that the Bakersfield Police Department is the answer or able to solve all the problems that we're being called to and dispatched to. But I do believe that with partnerships that we have with community-based organizations within our city, that there are ways for us to be able to solve a majority of the problems and connect people to resources and things to be able to provide an opportunity for them to take some ownership and being able to solve some of the problems. And then I want to improve relationships and strengthen relationships. Some relationships are really strong, and it's great to make them stronger. Some are not so strong, and we can work on improving public trust with some of those areas as well. So those are the three broad areas of things that I'd like to be able to focus on, and I'd like that to be a part of our culture where each of our officers is able to tell you at any given time, these are the three priorities and things that our department is working towards.
Recently, a local TV station reported that a small number of officers in the department were responsible for a large number of the complaints. And that just leads me to wonder, how is morale in the department and how do you plan to institute a good culture? And just what is a good culture in the Bakersfield Police Department?
Great question. I geek out on organizational culture, and it's something I enjoy talking about. I hadn't heard it framed quite like that before, and I really like that you're jogging a thought in my mind. And so I'm going to take the long way towards giving you an answer. But one of the things that we've been working on over the last several years is our gun violence reduction strategy, and really wanting to make sure that we bring some reductions in crime. And in doing that, I've had the opportunity to study gun violence reduction strategies all across the country and communities who are doing it well and places who are not doing it so well. And what the data and the research will tell you is that it's less than 0.1% of the population that can contribute to as much as 60 to 65% of the violent crime in any city in America. So it's not every gang member. It's not even every gang member with a gun. It's every gang member with a gun that is at risk of actually using those guns. That's who we really have to focus our efforts on. And that might be through enforcement. But it might also be connecting them with community-based organizations and offering resources for them to be able to make changes in their life and look for those times to be able to make changes. You know, a person who's been a victim of gun violence, a person who's been shot, is 40% more likely to go out and conduct a retaliatory shooting. So, but when they've been shot and they're in the hospital and their family's there, that's the time to offer them chances to be able to make some changes. And often it's not the police department that's able to do that. Sometimes they don't want to hear that from a person in a uniform. There's community-based organizations who help with that. So it's not surprising to me that it's a very, very small percentage of people that create bigger problems within a community and within an area of crime. I think it could be that way as well with officers, that it is a small percentage oftentimes of officers who create significant issues. We do have systems to be able to identify those things and be able to create reviews to be able to determine, hey, are we dealing with something that's a statistical outlier here? And why is that? Is everything okay? And things are just ending poorly, or do we have a problem on our hands? And for me, you know, I try to evaluate each of those things, and I try to let it be outcome-driven decision-making, right? I want to see, because there's times I do believe we can do everything right and things end up terribly. And then, but more times than not, we do a lot of things wrong and things turn out okay. And so I don't want to confuse good luck and good tactics. Those are two separate things. And it's the same way with some of our results. And so I want to analyze each of these instances on a case-by-case basis. And we take a look at things. And I try to look at things, you know, in it. Is this a mistake of the head? If it is in fact a mistake, is this a mistake of the head or a mistake of the heart? And if it's a mistake of the head, that's something I think that we can train to, we can discipline, we can fix, we can retain. If it's a mistake of the heart, that's something that we have to cut out and remove from the organization to be able to protect the culture and to be able to protect and maintain public trust. I really want to have the trust and confidence of the officers that work in the building. And it's important that they have that. And it's important that they feel supported, because they are, and they're respected, and they do a very difficult job. But I also have high expectations the way that I want it done. And it's important to me that the public and people outside of our building also have confidence in our officers.
You know, police departments and just law enforcement in general have faced a lot of criticism in recent years for use of force. That does include Bakersfield, according to a 2021 report from the Attorney General's office. That report shows your department agreed to revise some policing procedures after an investigation by the Department of Justice. How are things going today versus then? And how do you plan to make sure that you fulfill that promise of keeping Bakersfield residents feeling safe in their community?
Yeah, so we've worked very closely with the Department of Justice. We're moving into year 5 of our stipulated judgment with the California Department of Justice, as well as with an independent monitoring team. And this has been an opportunity for us to be able to revise our policies, to build community advisory panels, to be able to build audit and inspection systems, to be able to ensure that we're providing a good product, and that when we aren't, we have the systems built to be able to identify what those are, to be able to then take action to work on trying to correct those. So as we enter into year 5, it's my hope that we're getting much closer to being able to achieve full and effective compliance. I would really hope that with the partnership that we've had with the California Department of Justice, as well as with our external monitoring team, that we get to a spot where they're able to say that, you know, we have achieved a variety of different reforms within our department, and that we've arrived at a spot where we are in full and effective compliance, and that they believe that that our department is in a good position to be able to move and proceed forward. That's absolutely one of my goals. It's been, you know, for I want to say the last 9 or 10 years I've been working on this. There was 4 years or so of an investigation, and we're to year five of the monitoring, and I've been involved with it each step of the way. So for the last 9 years, I've been involved with this, and it's been a big portion of my job and a big portion of my career working with the California Department of Justice and the Civil Rights Section to be able to get our department to a spot where we have been able to achieve these reforms and be in full and effective compliance. And I believe that we're closer than ever. And it's an absolute goal to be able to get towards that. And I look forward to continuing to work with the Department of Justice to achieve that.
So you're inheriting that in this role, but you've already been working on it for many years. You mentioned Yes. You're in year five. How many years is it until you reach compliance, or is it with a set amount of years? Like,
it's not a set amount of years. It's when you believe that you can achieve it. And there's a variety of these, they take a variety of times in a lot of different cities. Most major American cities have dealt with this in one form or another from the United States Department of Justice. And there's multiple cities within the state of California that have dealt with the California Department of Justice on this topic. So it's not spread out. It's a specific time frame, because then people could just try to wait them out. And, you know, it's not, okay, I'm at year or whatever, and ollie oxen free. It doesn't work that way. It's when has the department truly achieved the reforms? When have we been able to have the policies, the practices, the data in place to be able to leave confidence that the department is able to operate at a high level.
Just as we wrap up, you know, speaking of the federal government, Immigration and Customs Enforcement has come to many towns in California seeking to apprehend people without legal status. It's happened in your community, Kern County in general.
Yes.
Under your leadership, how do you plan on handling working with federal agencies that might expect you to comply with their demands?
Yeah, so in California, we're prohibited from being involved in immigration enforcement, and we're going to follow California law in that regard. We do have officers that are assigned to HSI that work on criminal-based investigations that extend beyond our jurisdiction, oftentimes narcotic sales, human trafficking, child exploitation, and things like that, that the federal government has the reach and the ability to be able to work on, and we have officers that are assigned to that. But I don't believe that federal immigration enforcement is the role of a local police department. We believe that's the role of the federal government, and it's not something that a local police department is to be working on.
Do you intend to protect people without legal status who are following the law?
Can you be a little more specific about protect them how? Like, we are not involved in immigration enforcement. We believe that, again, that's the role and the responsibility of the federal government. So it's not something that we think is the role of local police. I think that I've seen instances where people who are immigrants are targeted and who are specifically harmed and stolen from, abused, assaulted, because they people believe that they won't call the police because they're scared of their immigration status. We don't want people preying on anybody in our community. We want people to be able to call us and to be able to report these issues to the police department. So we're absolutely willing to protect immigrants from criminals and people who are trying to cause harm. We want them to know that our department is choosing to apprehend those who would prey on anyone. So protecting them in that sense, it absolutely, we don't have the intent of standing in the way of the federal government of conducting immigration enforcement. That's their role and that's their responsibility. So while we're not taking a part of it, we're not working to intervene from the federal government conducting their immigration enforcement either.
So before I let you go, Chief Stratton, with you now at the helm of the department, what is one thing you think your department can do better today than it's done in the past, and just something that you hope to accomplish as you start out on this new path?
Yeah, I'm dedicated to constant improvement, and that should be a phrase our department has heard a lot, is having a dedication to constant improvement. There is not a single thing that we are doing that we can't do better. I believe that we should constantly be trying to be to improve. One of my favorite videos that I see James Clear talk about is the aggregation of marginal gains and trying to move yourself to be 1% better every day. So we can do things that are fantastic, and we're gonna still try to get better. We're gonna try to be stronger. We're trying to be faster. We're gonna try to just continuously improve in how we do everything. That's inclusive of the things that we're doing well and the things that we're not doing well. So there's not a single thing that we have that we can't do better.
Bakersfield Police Chief Brent Stratton, thank you so much for your time. It was great to speak with you.
My pleasure, same.
And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arcalian. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
You know, every day on Up First, NPR's Golden Globe-nominated morning news podcast, we bring you three essential stories. At the heart of each story are questions. What really happened? What really mattered? What happens next? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious and to follow the facts. Follow Up First wherever you get your podcasts and start your day knowing what matters and why.